And now, Forward with Falk. Join Scranton political observer Dave Falk and WFTE's Jake Rosen as they navigate their way through the political thicket. Dave, now it's been for a long time that all the people who write about politics, talk about politics, keep saying that this coming election is going to be a disaster for the Democrats. It's historically very bad for the party that controls the presidency when the midterms come up. They always lose votes. They lose seats in the House. They lose seats in the Senate. All of Biden's policies are popular, but Biden's presidency is unpopular, and so forth and so on. What do you think about all that? I mean, apart from any specific and particular policy, looking at things as a whole, looking at the whole ball of wax, here on the one hand you have a Republican Party determined to get rid of representative democracy, determined now to try to end public education as soon as they can end women's rights to abortion, partisan political gerrymandering to make sure that poor people and minority people can't vote, and doing all of that in a very disciplined way, and the Democrats not apparently being effective in opposition to that or in promoting their own programs. It's the momentum seems all on one side, right?
Yeah, I totally agree. I think the energy and the momentum is certainly with the Republicans. Remember, the Republicans have essentially stopped governing. They only care about owning the libs. At least that's what their base cares about. And even to their own detriment, because the policies that the Democrats want are far more favorable to the base of the Republican Party, the blue-collar base, than what the Republicans have. You know, the Republicans came out with Rick Scott down there in Florida, and he said, we're going to tax everybody. So all the people that are now exempt from taxation, the ones that are making minimum wage or just above minimum wage and are on disability, they're going to be paying income taxes while the Republicans try to do away with Social Security and Medicare and all of this stuff. But it doesn't matter to them because they think that they're sticking it to the libs on these social issues. And that's what gins up the base. As a social issue, the attack on democracy does not gin up the Democratic base.
But social issues are bread and butter issues, right? I mean,
well, no, race isn't a bread and butter issue.
Well, in many ways, it is a bread and butter issue.
It's all sex and race.
Well, I understand that. I don't quite know why it is that Christian people feel the need to dump on homosexuals and people who don't identify as heterosexual. I don't quite understand what there is in the Bible that they read that says that these are subhumans, but that's what they're saying. And
well, you know, they say it's an abomination.
Even if it is an abomination, don't they believe that hate the sin, love the sinner? But that's not how they act. That's not their policy.
They're supposed to, you know, and of course, the other abominations, you know, of mixing linen with wool and things like that, they have no problems with, you know.
No, of course not. And frankly, I doubt that they really have a problem with the LGBT community.
Yeah. You know, because so many of them have turned out to be closeted LGBT or members of their family. I mean,
exactly.
I was going to say something, and I just it just popped out of my mind here. But
I mean, it is true. It's empirically true that these reactionaries, people like the Koch brothers, people like DeSantis, people like Trump, are able to get a certain segment of people hot and bothered about things that they don't grasp they're being hot and bothered about. The whole real issue behind don't teach about racism in the schools or don't teach about sex in the schools is don't teach, don't have public schools. Get rid of the public school system. That's what it's about. The people who lead this campaign are very open about it. That they, as the Koch brothers usually are very open about what they intend. And they say openly, if we want to promote our ideology, we have to get people angry and against public education.
Well, and in some respects, they're just against education. I mean, their base is less educated in many ways.
Yeah. And you can't be a biologist if you don't discuss sex. How does that work?
No, you can't. But they don't care. This is all power. And I
in Florida, apparently they banned 41 math books.
Yeah.
Math books.
Yeah. Well, of course, that's because math teaches you that 81 million is more than 74 million.
Right. That's right. That's exactly right.
Some of the things I saw somebody sent me something on Twitter that Senator Tom Cotton came out. You know, last week they had every year they had the anniversary of Jackie Robinson Day in baseball, where everybody wears his number 42, and it was the 75th anniversary, and you know he praised Jackie Robinson being the groundbreaker, and someone tweeted, "Well, are you going to allow people to teach why he couldn't play baseball? Why people like him couldn't play baseball for all those years?"
He didn't respond, did he?
No. Those things are, they're shameless. I mean, look at when they passed some of the infrastructure bill, all those Republicans who voted against it went to their home districts and took credit for it.
Right. That's true.
But as long as they don't pay a price for it, what are you going to do?
Well, so there you have it. So why don't they pay a price for it? To me, it's because there's no effective opposition to them. And that, you have to say, is the fault of the Democratic Party leadership.
Yeah.
I don't see how you can get around it. I mean, they're the ones who are supposed to make the other side's case. They allegedly are the friends of the working man and the working woman. Yeah. But and they may actually have policies that benefit the working man and the working woman, but you wouldn't know it.
No. They can't sell it. Or they don't know how to sell it. That's number one. But we also have the issue of that the Republicans have been able to rig things in a sufficient way that they won't pay any price for it because their districts are safe. And more of their districts are safe. What Ron DeSantis did this week or last week in Florida, where a pro-Republican congressional map, he just took it and made it even more. He took away a black district, a black favoring district, and things like that. And as long as they control the court.
Well, I think what he did was he added four guaranteed new Republican seats in the Congress.
Right, right.
Well, the Democrats only hold the Congress majority by, what, five?
Right. Yeah. So that could tip the balance in a close election, if it is going to be close. We don't know if it's going to be close at this point, but there's, you know, and you've got an older leadership among the Democrats. They're seen as old. Of course, a lot of the Republicans are old too. I mean, Donald Trump is no youngster.
I don't think it's an age question. I don't think it's an age question at all. I think it's a question of the ability of the Trump people to manipulate racism so that they can capture the white male vote.
Well, and also, don't forget, they have that information silo there on Fox and Newsmax and those places where people just don't get information. It's not disinformation, it's uninformation that they're able to use to control things.
I agree. And the Democrats don't have any similar propaganda machine.
No.
Fox News is unique and powerful. And it doesn't have to be powerful in a majoritarian sense. It just has to be powerful in making sure that there's a significant minority that's motivated on one line. And that's what they do.
Yeah.
So, you know, it may not be more than 15 or 18%, but that 15 or 18% can carry the majority.
Yeah. WFTE isn't quite, you know, the equivalent of Fox.
No, no, we don't even try. That's no. The thing is that the Democrats could do something. WFTE doesn't have any money. The Democrats can put together hundreds of millions of dollars.
Yeah.
There's no real reason why the Democrats can't have radio stations and television stations and internet influencers all over the place. If Kim Jong-un can do it in North Korea, you're telling me that the Americans who are interested in the Democratic Party can't do it? I don't believe it.
And the Democrats are able to raise money.
They can raise the money. The point is they don't use it usefully.
They don't know how to use it.
Yeah. That's exactly right.
Yeah.
And then you also, among the Democrats, you have a real contradiction, a real conflict between what the party needs in order to prevail nationally and what each individual who runs as a candidate thinks he or she needs to do to get elected and doesn't really pay attention or doesn't really care about what the party needs. You take the election for the senatorial nomination here in Pennsylvania. We got three main candidates, right? Kenyatta, Lamb, and Fetterman.
Right.
Now, one of them is going to win. One of them is going to get the nomination. You would think that if they were really concerned, the three of them were really concerned about the Democrats winning that seat, each one of them would campaign in such a way that he doesn't really cut the legs out from under the other one. Two of them are going to lose.
Right?
Yeah. But what do you have? You have instead, Conor Lamb is behind, so he attacks Fetterman, who's ahead, for being a socialist. Fetterman is a socialist like Toomey is a socialist. You know, he's no socialist. He doesn't even need to say he's not a socialist.
He was running. Here's an example. Lamb is running one ad, and it doesn't even, you know, it's very interesting how he phrased it. Because he said that Fetterman sought the endorsement of the Democratic Socialists. He didn't say that he was a socialist. He just sought their endorsement. And then he has a second thing that he's been called a socialist. But the quote comes from the GOP. You know?
Yeah. Well, that's terrible.
What he's
that's
doing is
terrible.
Amplifying the GOP message.
Yeah. So let's assume Fetterman wins.
Yeah.
How's Lamb going to support him, or he's not going to support him? Is it really significant that Lamb be elected or that a Republican not be elected? To me, it's significant that a Republican not be elected so that Mitch McConnell does not run the Congress, does not control the Senate. I don't really give a damn who gets elected as long as the Republicans don't get to be in control of the Senate. Shouldn't Lamb have the same approach? Seems to me he should.
Yeah.
But you find this over and over again, for each one of these candidates, it's like a business for himself or herself. The party doesn't matter. The party is just the way they run. It's just the franchise. They're the party. If they'll win the nomination, they become the party. But on the Republican side, Trump has a different approach. And he controls that party. And he says, you go along with me and we'll support you. Otherwise, the hell with you. I don't need you. The Republicans don't need you. I don't want Republicans like you. He says it openly.
Yeah. And he even supports people who hadn't supported him in the past.
Right. J.D. Vance attacked him bitterly, viciously.
Right.
He supports him.
Yeah. Mehmet Oz.
Yeah.
Same thing.
And, I mean, the Oz-McCormick campaign, in one way, play into the hands of the Democrats. Because each one attacks the other more viciously, right?
Yeah. I mean, that's one thing where when your opponents are destroying themselves, you just stand by and watch it.
Yeah. You know? But, you know, so one of those two guys is going to win. Nobody else is going to win. One of those two guys is going to win. So the Republicans are going to be vulnerable because the Democrats are going to be able to just quote the guy who lost. Listen, this is what these people said about the Republican candidate, whether it's Oz or McCormick, right?
Yeah, the whole question is whether the Republicans will then form ranks behind a guy like Oz for all the bad things he said, or a guy like McCormick, who's just a Wall Streeter and what have you. It's going to be interesting, and I think part of it's going to have to be not what we see on TV, but what we see online.
Yes, that's right.
What and how the Democrats are able to get social media to the Republicans who follow social media and undermine the Republican candidate.
And Fetterman makes a good point, and this is a point that I've made, and I think you've made over and over again, which is the Democrats don't have to win the majority in the 42 rural counties. They just have to narrow the amount by which they lose. They've got to narrow that gap. That's all they have to do, and they have to narrow it maybe by what, 5%, 8%, 10%, and they win if they get their own vote out. But they can't get their own vote out if a third of their people are so turned off because they're convinced that the guy who won the primary, whoever he is no good. Then there's no possible way of winning.
Yeah.
I mean, it's inconceivable that the head of the largest hedge fund in the universe, McCormick, who comes from, forget that he's not even from here, he can't possibly represent the interests of the working people of Pennsylvania. He wouldn't even know what they were. He made his money by making sure that those interests were denied and not served.
Well, look what he did to the pension plan of the teachers.
Exactly. And impoverished everybody else in the state who have to pay higher taxes to make up for those losses.
Yeah.
Well, there's no effective way for the Democrats to make that point if they have to defend themselves against being, God knows what, socialists or they have to try to figure out some way to convince the African-American voters in Philadelphia to come out and vote. Or whatever the problem is going to be.
And that's going to be a problem. They have, because part of the Philadelphia machine, Johnny Dock, the union head, got convicted. And so we don't know how strong that machine is left there. But if they have to depend on the machine rather than building up elsewhere, you wonder. And also, all those counties and all those places where they don't have candidates running. So right. You don't have anybody trying to bring out a Democratic vote.
Right. That's right. Like in my county, I told you in the last primary, the Democrats put up candidates in only 12% of the open seats. It's absolutely astounding. That's not democracy. That's not, if that's the best you can do, dissolve your organization. Let somebody else take the job.
Political malpractice.
It really is. Because of the people, most people, they're not interested in politics. I mean, they may come out and vote or they may not come out and vote, but they're not passionate about it. Your job, if you're interested in politics, is to make them passionate, to give leadership, to give hope. And if you're not doing it, why are you interested in politics? What's it for? Just so you can make a buck?
Yeah. And there are these voters who are low-information voters. I saw a focus group this past week or so, and they started showing them ads and position papers, and these folks had no idea.
And why should they have an idea? Where would they get the information from?
Well, they're they don't follow politics like you and I or some other people. They only
that's right. And even if they wanted to follow it, where would they go for the information? The average newspaper has nothing in it. You can't really figure out what's going on from the average newspaper. There's nothing in it. The NBC, ABC, CBS, the most NPR, the most superficial gloss on the news, on the actual, what's really going on. You have to be a political scientist to figure out what's really going on. Well, that's like a tiny percentage of the population.
Yeah, well, you have
but
the will.
It's the job of the Democrats to bring it forward.
Right. Well, you know, the Will Smith's slap.
That people know about.
That they know about.
That they know about. Kim Kardashian's latest. That they know about.
That they know about. Of course. Now, those folks know marketing, the Kardashians.
That's true.
Online.
That's true. Not that hard to learn. They learned it. They're not geniuses. Geniuses. I'm not even sure they can walk across the street by themselves. But anyway. So you got to ask yourself, if these Democrats, these leading Democrats, what do they think their job is? What do the leaders of the Democratic Party in Pennsylvania think the job is, actually? Just to make sure that the machine turns people out in Philly? That's the job? That's not the job.
No, that's the problem. That's what Fetterman is talking about.
Yeah.
That they're disconnected from the people.
Yeah.
And no matter how often you talk to them or whatever, they just don't seem to get it.
I remember when Wolf was running for the first time for governor, I don't know if you were with me, but he came to our station.
I was there.
And I was chatting with him, and I said to him, are you interested in renovating the Democratic Party, or are you just running for governor? And he looked at me, and he really had no idea what I was talking about. And he said, well, I want to be the governor. And the truth is that since he's been the governor, he hasn't done anything to renovate the Democratic Party. So what was the point of being governor? The party exists for the purpose of political leadership.
Yeah. And, of course, now he's interested in getting Shapiro as a successor because he doesn't want to see what he has done undone.
I bet you if you ask 10 people on the street of Scranton tomorrow, what has he done? You won't get 10 answers even. The answer will be, I have no idea.
Right.
So.
Right, and that's part of it. And it's interesting, we're not even seeing politicians around. I know Fetterman's been going around the rural areas, but haven't seen anything for him really in Lackawanna County. I think he showed up in Luzerne County once.
He showed up and spoke at a Susquehanna County event.
Right.
So that's interesting.
Yeah, but he still should be doing things down here, and we'll have to see. And Shapiro haven't seen him either. I get tons of requests for money from these guys.
No, but I mean, because it's branding, it's marketing, it's television. That's what they're interested in, or a mailing.
Well,
that's what their
advisors go for because that's how they get paid, the television.
Yeah. But the point is, they may lose one or two election cycles. If they don't refurbish their organization, there's no point to their running because they'll never be able to win. Never, never. Now, it's true that a certain number of them will always have jobs because the system is built in such a way that the minority party always gets to elect some offices. But that makes politics a joke. That's not democracy.
Well, wait until if the Republicans get power, they may have something to say about that.
That's true too. Yeah,
you might be in a totalitarian area where, it's all of one thing, and then people will say, well, how do we get into this?
Or they'll say, how do we get out of it? And there's no way out.
Well, yeah.
Of course, there's always a way out, but it's violent. And that's what you're leading toward. If you make sure, if the Republicans win, let's assume they win and get to do what they want to do. 20 years pass. Social activities, problems fester. They get worse because these people don't know how to solve the problems. There's a limit to how many wars they can organize to get people's minds diverted. By the time you're done fighting the sexual social wars, other social wars based on ignorance, you run out of that issue, then what happens? Now you got riots in the street.
Well, they've already fomented violence and riots in the street.
Yeah.
On the Republican side, they've already done that. What you might see is what happened with Putin's Russia. When you hollow out the country in order to benefit the oligarchs, which is where they're at, which is what happened in Russia, you see what the breakdown ultimately happens.
That's right. But, you know, I got to say one thing about the Russian people. When Putin invaded the Ukraine, when he started that war, the first week there were hundreds of demonstrations all over Russia. 13,000 to 15,000 people were arrested protesting the war in Russia the first week. Now,
you don't hear any more protests, though, do you?
No, because they got sent to jail. And they passed a law saying you 15 years if you do this. We'll arrest you. You go to jail for 15 years. But there's still opposition. People emigrate. There's real seething beneath the surface. There's a lot of opposition. The Russian people have a large component that don't put, you know, are actively against this war. You got to give them a lot of credit. You can't. They're not all Putin.
Well, Putin's ruined two countries. He's ruined the structure of Ukraine, but he's ruined the economy of Russia.
Oh yeah.
Although it was on the way to ruin. I heard Jill Doherty from CNN speak this week in Scranton, and she talked about the drain of the young people.
You've had thousands of Russian young people and trained people who've left Russia in the last 7 weeks.
The talented people.
Yeah. Not all, of course. It's not. I mean, there's 100-some-odd
million
Russians. They can't do it. They won't do it. But a lot have. There's enormous unrest in Russia. And you don't know what's going to happen there. You can't tell. You can't condemn those people. You have to support those people. And that's what you'll have here. That's what, if the Republicans get all their wishes fulfilled, and they're able to do what Orbán did in Hungary and what Putin did in Moscow, that's what you'll have here.
Yeah, it will have that brain drain. They'll go to Australia, to India, to wherever, because now with the internet, they can work from anywhere.
And plus, which you can get an education in those places. And here, you'll get the kind of education Ron DeSantis is willing to give you, or the Koch brothers are willing to give you. No math, no science, no history, no biology, nothing. Forget art history or music or anything like that. What you'll get is nonsense. You'll be told that that's the way the world works, and when you try to implement it, you discover it doesn't work that way, and you got a 10th-rate country and poor people and angry people. Well, so what's the job? Don't the Democrats have to let Democratic leadership have to step up?
Absolutely. Yeah.
That's right.
Absolutely. Well, this is and they have to learn that it's not enough to have good policy. First, you have to enact it. And secondly, you have to be able to sell it and convince people that that you have enacted it and that it is good for them.
Yeah. All right. That's it for this week.
All right.
That's it for this week. We'll see what happens. The French election is taking place even as we're being broadcast. That could have real repercussions.
That could have,
but anyway, there's a war. There's a war, and that war could become an atomic war. There should be a movement in America to make sure it does not become an atomic war. It's got to stop. Yeah. The war has to stop.
Yeah. And we have May Day this week, which, used to be a workers' day.
Used to be.
Yeah.
May Day. We'll see you next week.
Yeah. All right. You've been listening to Forward with Falk. Longtime Scranton political observer Dave Falk and WFTE's Jake Rosen discuss politics. Join them again next week, same time, same place.